Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have another genealogy. If you have noticed, then, we have two genealogies in chapters 4 and 5. And why would there be two genealogies here? There would be two genealogies here because we have two different lines of humanity. We have the one line of humanity that are the sons of Cain, and they are the sons of the wicked one. And then we have the other line of humanity, that is what we might call the covenant line, or the line of faithful offspring, and that is the line of Seth, the appointed one. So we have then this second genealogy, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, but in chapter 4, we don't hear anything about anyone's death. Nothing about it. But here in chapter 5, each one of these patriarchs that we hear about, when it comes to the end of their lives, we hear, "And he died," with one exception, and that would be Enoch, because God took him, he was not. That is the man that it is said of him, he walked with God, like his grandson Noah after him. It is interesting that in the godly line, we hear of men dying. Because in the godly line, they acknowledge death. It is something that, if you will, they embrace as a part of their faithfulness because they have a very particular trust in God. And so they have no difficulty talking about death. In the ungodly line, notice not even a whisper, because it is that feared thing. And so we have in the godly line this understanding of the Word of God, the curse of God, that death is indeed something that God has brought upon mankind and something to be embraced rather than something to hide our consciousness from. And so after each one of these names we hear, and he died, and he died, and he died. Yes, the godly do die. The godly die. And yet it is out of God's love to free them perfectly from their sin and misery, to make them, to expand their capability of communion with Christ in glory, which they then enter upon. That's how the larger catechism puts it. So, what do we have then? Well, we have several different things if we take chapters 4 and 5 together. We have Lamech the Great and Lamech the Less. We have Lamech the Less. And remember his boast that I haven't denied myself any indulgence. He's thinking about me. I'm tired of talking about me. Why don't you talk about me for a while? That's Lamech. And then we have Lamech the Great. And when he has a son, he names him Rest, because he is looking for the relief from the curse, the fulfillment of God's promise. You see, he's a covenant man. He is a covenant man. He is trusting in God's promise. He's trusting in that covenant that God made at the beginning, immediately after the fall. He's looking for that promised seed that would overturn the curse and set things right once again. Of course, Noah was not that. He was a type of Christ, but he was not that Christ. The other thing that we see here in this passage is Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. And I take this to be a metaphor that he is a particularly godly man, that Enoch knows how to maintain a communion with God in his daily living. And so he is an example to us all. And I like the way one theologian said it. I think I've told you this before, that Enoch and God went on walks every day together, and one day they walked so far from Enoch's house, God said to Enoch, "You know, you're closer to my house than you are to yours. Why don't you come home with me today?" And he was never seen again. He walked with God and God took him. He was not. And so we have that same Enoch being spoken of in the Epistle of Jude. And Enoch had a hope in the judgment. Enoch had a hope in the resurrection. We hear that from Jude. Now, there's one other thing to talk about here before we close, and that is the name Methuselah. Methuselah. And theologians are divided as to what his name means. Some people will say, and you'll read this in various Bible encyclopedias and Bible dictionaries, that the name Methuselah means man of the spear. And that is a possible interpretation, a possible understanding, a translation of his name, man of the spear. But I think, really, it points in another direction. Because the word met in the Hebrew often means death also. And metu, his death, and selah is it shall come. And so his name could also mean that when he dies, or upon his death, it, whatever it is, shall come. Whatever it is, shall come. And this, for a long time now, has been an illustration of the mercy and grace of God. Why is it that Methuselah is the oldest man in the Bible? Because his name is a testament to the long-suffering of God. Because at his death, the flood encompassed the earth. And so, we have in the death of this man, Methuselah, a witness to the long-suffering of God in that he is the oldest man ever recorded having lived in the Bible. Because God suffered long with the wickedness of men, because at his death, the judgment of that wicked earth would come. And then there's one more thing, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever thought about using Genesis chapter 5 to teach your children mathematics? I hope you have, because here's a great passage where you have all of these numbers, and each one of the lives of these men has a very nice addition problem. And so you start with the one term, you add the second term, and you get the total. And you see how that in Scripture, this understanding of mathematics, at least addition, if not much more, and I think logically speaking, much more than that might be shown as well. But here, we can teach mathematics from the Scriptures and inculcate in our children also the all of these terms concerning these men and their deaths and their offspring, and how God perpetuated a faithful race in the earth. So, there you go. All right, let's stand and continue praising God.